Well, good morning. If you will turn in your Bibles or on your electronics to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Or actually, we're going to hit a verse in chapter 1 from last week. And then we're going to spend most of the time in chapter 2. Last week, I introduced a series. This series of Ephesians, and as you can see from your bulletin on the front, there's three things that the book of Ephesians speaks to us about. First of all, and we're going to talk about it today, our position, or our place in Christ. And then we're going to talk about our conduct, our lives, how we live our lives. And then we'll talk about the mindset that Paul tells us we're to have as Christians. And so today, I want you to look at Ephesians 1, verse 20. Ephesians 1, 20. And then we'll go to chapter 2. Verse 20 says, "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." And in verse 19, he's talking about his power. In 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power, which he," God, "worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies." And then in chapter 2, in verse 6, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." God made him, Jesus, to sit, and he makes us to sit with him. That's our position. The position I want us to see first is sit. Sitting is a position. God began reestablishing his kingdom on earth by having Jesus sit beside him on his heavenly throne at his right hand after God raised him from the dead and he was resurrected. And when a person is raised from spiritual death to new life in Christ, here's where it starts: sitting down with Jesus and being nurtured by him. Being nurtured by him. Verse 6 says in chapter 2, "And raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ." Sitting with Christ. Not literally in heaven, but our spiritual position. Where we are spiritually. He's given us that position. He's made us to sit with Christ. So look at it this way. A newborn baby. And we have them dropping around here these days too, which is wonderful. As he or she begins to grow, the first thing they learn to do is what? Sit up. Right? They don't stand first. They kind of learn to sit up. And then they'll start to pull themselves up, and then they'll walk eventually, won't they? But see, if you look at in the natural realm, there's a perfect design there, an example. The baby learns to sit first, and that's what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to learn, the first thing we learn after we come to Christ is we're to learn to sit with him. To sit with him. The most common mistake, critical mistake that many believers make is trying to walk before they've learned to sit. We try to get after it and get going, and we haven't even learned to sit yet. And that's the most important thing, and that's normally because our natural inclination is to think that we got to do something to obtain something, right? You got to do something to obtain something. Well, if we're going to grow or mature, we have to, you know, we think we got to make it on our own effort. Listen, Christianity doesn't work that way. It doesn't work the way the world works, because man's ways are not God's ways. Man's ways are not God's ways. You see, if we begin doing anything, we end up with nothing. If we try to attain something, we miss everything that God intends for us. Why? Because our new life in Christ doesn't begin with do. It begins with done. The word done, D-O-N-E. It begins with done, not do. Here's the point. And that is the point. New life begins with not with do, but with done. I want to want you, Ephesians 1:3. I talked about this last week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ or through Christ. See, it's already been done. See that cross up there? That represents the word done. Last thing Jesus said up there was, it's finished. What he meant was, it's done. I've done it all. It's already been done, and every spiritual blessing is provided. Our part is, first of all, to sit and enjoy what Jesus has done and begin to embrace all that God has for us, all that God has provided in him. Not in us, in him. Not to get busy trying to obtain the spiritual things of God ourselves. You see, when we take off walking on our own, it's an effort that we're producing. A relationship with God doesn't work that way. Too many people are trying to work their way to heaven or work their way to be good enough in God's eyes. And it's futile and it's foolish. Look at verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now let me paraphrase that verse. It's by the grace of God that you've been saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, as Savior. And it's not because anything you've done, anything you can do, or anything you did do. That's what that verse is saying. It's already been done. It's already been done. You didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. You see, our part is to believe and receive. Believe and receive. That's faith and grace. Faith is believing. Grace is receiving. Too many people in the church, good people, are headed to hell because they think being a good person and doing a lot of good will is going to get them to heaven. Churches are full of them. And you're wrong if you think that way. You're deceived. And when your time comes, you're going to hear those dreaded words from Jesus, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, salvation comes by grace through faith in the one true Savior, Jesus. Doesn't come by working, comes by resting in what Jesus has done, already done. Jesus said in his words, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, are burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Quit trying and quit struggling and quit painstakingly trying to get there. Come to me and I'll give you rest." Here's the point. Complete dependence upon Jesus. The Christian life is based from start to finish on complete dependence upon Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. Complete dependence on Jesus. God is willing to pour everything he has into us, but he can only do that when we rest in him. Our position is to sit with him. And you see, sitting is an attitude of rest. What do you do when you sit down? You're resting. So what does it mean exactly to sit down? You know, people go through life, a lot of Christians go through life trying to carry the load. But think about it physically. When you sit down, all my weight just came off of my feet and my legs. And all my weight now just went on the chair. True? True? That's physical science, right? Well, it's the same thing when we just sit down with Christ. When we rest in Him, He takes all the weight off of me and off of you. He takes it. Amen. This chair is like Jesus. And you know, that's what God is like. He just wants us to crawl up in His lap and sit down. Amen. And rest. That's what Jesus wants us to do. See, when we're walking or we're running or we're lifting or we're carrying all the weight, most of the time it's between the ears. And then when it gets between the ears, it gets so heavy. And what it does is it gets down here on the heart. And it just weighs us down in our spirit. Walking, running, lifting, carrying all the weight, we're doing the weight bearing. But when we sit, all our weight is on Jesus. All our weight is on Jesus. And you see, when all the weight is on us, we get weary, we get tired, we get tired of carrying the load. But when we sit, He bears the weight. And He allows us to relax and rest in Him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Quote, Jesus. He said that. In the spiritual realm, it works the same way. Sitting down with Him. Taking it rests the weight of the burden off of us. Our effort. Takes the weight of our sin off. Our challenges, our relationships, our hopes, and our future. All the weight of life, when we just sit with Jesus, is placed on Him. And sitting with Christ is an act of faith. Just like getting saved, just like receiving Christ as Savior, receiving salvation, it takes an act of faith because we think, God, I got to push through this. I got to keep carrying this load. I got to deal with this myself. Right? That's what we think, don't we? When we're going through things. And that's not it. Sitting with Christ is an act of faith. You got to have faith enough to believe if you sit down with Christ that He'll bear the weight of those things. You have to believe. It's an act of faith. Sitting is an act of faith. Allowing Him. That's key. Allowing Him to bear the load. So we're not trying to carry it. You see, God spent 6 days creating the world, creating beings. And in the seventh day, He rested. Adam was created on the sixth day. So you know what Adam's first day was? Adam's first day was the day of rest. Think about that. So, you know, that's not changed. Shouldn't our first thing be to rest, to sit with Him? Adam's first day of activity was that seventh day of rest. So our first activity should be to enter into that rest before we start walking it out, running it out. Christianity, here's what Christianity means. Simple. God's done everything. That's it. God's done everything. In Christ and through Christ. God's done it all. Our part is simply by faith to sit down in the joy of it. You see, God made Him, Jesus, to sit. Then He made us to sit, as we just read, with Him. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand the context of this. Because Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of our understanding would be opened. This means we have to see our position. We have to see our position. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, but our position is seated in Christ. We have to see that our position on this earth is seated with Christ. Not in heaven, but in a spiritual sense of in His presence. God gives us our position of rest. He takes the work that Jesus has already done. Remember that word? Done? I didn't say dung. I said done. You know, it seems like at salvation we get it, and then somewhere along the line we forget it. We forget how salvation came as a gift of God's grace. And then we start working as hard as we can, trying to earn or obtain everything else that God has for us. Deliverance, healing, freedom, peace, joy, fruitfulness. And we forget to just stop and sit regularly with Him. We forget that every new spiritual experience with God begins with sitting. Every spiritual experience comes by faith and trust in what He's already done. As we sit down again and again. It's called, you know, this principle never changes. It doesn't matter how much we grow or mature. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor or whatever. We always need spiritual rest. And it only comes when we sit down. By seeing ourselves seated with Christ. Let me give you an example. How do you receive the power of the Holy Spirit to live your life? Beg, plead with God, fast, self-deny. Well, let me ask you this. How do you receive forgiveness of sins? The Bible tells us it's according to the riches of His grace. Well, redemption comes through His blood on what He's done. Acts chapter 2. So let me show you how you receive that power. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Are you with me?
Yes.
Verse 33 of Acts 2. Therefore, now this is, Pentecost is taking place. Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Here we go. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, who's He talking about? Who? Jesus. Being exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. So the basis of God pouring out His Spirit is so that Jesus is exalted. Because Jesus is exalted by sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And I receive that outpouring the same way as I receive salvation. Sitting down and resting by faith. Believe and receive. Not working for it. You see, we receive every spiritual blessing not by walking, but by the position of sitting or resting in Him. Now, it doesn't mean you can't rest in God and lean against the wall or as you're meditating, driving, whatever. So don't get stuck on the sitting position. The position is in our heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to let our heart sit with Him. Here's another important thing. Once the Holy Spirit shows us our need for Jesus, we repent and believe. Then our life in Christ begins by faith. But how do you get rid of the old man? Oh, Pastor, we're talking about old man. Well, the Bible talks about the old man or the old self. That's who the old man is, the old person. It's your old self before you came to Christ. And then you come to Christ. And so what about the old man, the old self that's controlled us for all those years of our life in the flesh? How do you die or kill that old self? Well, I can tell you this, it's not in doing something. It's not in struggling to quit this or stop that or refrain from those things. You may need to do that. But we do it the same way, by our position of sitting and resting in what has already been done. You see, when Christ was crucified, He already started the crucifixion of our old self. He made that available to us. We do it the same way by our position of sitting and resting. Ephesians 2:5, look at verse 5 in Ephesians. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by the grace you've been saved. By grace you've been saved. You see, That's past tense. Look at that, in that verse. It says, God, who was rich in mercy, in verse 4, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. He says we were dead in sin. It's past tense. It's not present. You see, when Christ comes in your life, it's not you're still dead in sin. You were dead in sin, but that old self has been crucified with Christ. When you receive Christ by faith, you crucify the old self. Now, some of you are thinking, yes, Pastor, but I'm still tempted. I struggle with lust, pornography, anger, resentment, language, yada, yada, yada. What about that? I'll tell you what about that. You're trying to walk through it without first sitting. You're trying to beat it on your own without just sitting and resting and letting him take that, whatever it is in your life. You can't beat it on your own. That's why he did that. That's why he was crucified, to crucify the old self. The word says, I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. You weren't born with Christ. You were born again. But when you come to faith, you've been crucified with Christ. You enter into that same death and that same resurrection with Christ. You're not called to struggle with the old self. You're called to believe that when Christ was crucified, those things died with him. Dead, gone, history, in the past. Do you believe that? Some of us don't believe that, though. That's why we keep struggling with it. But God, Pastor, you don't understand. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah, I do understand. It is hard. But it's already been done. Let it go. Sit with him. Let him speak to your heart. Let him transform your life. Get in his word. Reading the Bible is part of sitting with him. Amen. Resting with him. Here's an example. Well, before that, deliverance of sin, you got to get this. Deliverance of sin is not based on what we can do. Deliverance from drugs, pornography, alcohol, lust, whatever, is not based on what we can do. It's based on what's already been done. It's based on what's already been done. Our deliverance from those things are based on what he did. Example, someone says something to you ugly and hurts you or offends you, and your response is, I'm going to be spiritual about this. You bite your lip, clench your teeth, swallow hard, and you be reasonably polite in return. And so you go about your way and you think, I did pretty good with that. But resentment or anger is still there. Because all you did was suppress it inside and you just covered it up, and at some time it's going to bleed out. So what's the problem? I mean, didn't I do that right? But here's the problem. Problem is you're trying to walk before you sit, and so you get defeated. You're trying to walk before you sit. Here's the secret. Here's the point. The secret of deliverance from sin is not doing. It's resting in what God has done. God, Jesus died for my addiction. God, Jesus died for my broken relationship. God, Jesus died so I don't have to be bound in pornography. Jesus died so I don't have to live as a victim the rest of my life because of what happened to me a long time ago. The secret of deliverance is not doing. It's believing and receiving. It's resting in what God's done. Okay, Pastor, give me more. How do I get there? Well, Paul told us in Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Here's how you get there. It's seeing that you're above those things. You're above those things because you're seated in Christ. You're seated with him. Seeing that Jesus died for that offense, so you don't have to receive it or be controlled by it. See, when sin approaches or sin encroaches, sit down with him. Look at truth. And the truth is, if you're already sitting on a regular basis, like we should be, then your eyes have already been enlightened, and your responses will reflect that. Devil, I don't receive that. That's not truth. God has shown me truth. That's not who I am. This addiction doesn't define me. It will not define me. This sin doesn't hold me. I've been set free because it's been done. Because of my position, I'm seated with Christ. I don't have to remain here. See, when we're wronged, we feel like we have to do something about it. I read a story about a man who did civil work for a company, and he had to leave and go overseas for 2 or 3 years. And while he was gone, his wife was unfaithful and basically left him, took the 2 kids and left him for his best friend. And so when he got back, that's what he encountered. Sometime later, he was at a conference where there was a speaker, a Christian conference. And after the conference, he went up to the speaker and he said, "You know, I've been struggling and struggling. I'm a Christian. I know I'm supposed to forgive my best friend, my wife. I know I'm supposed to forgive those things, but I struggle with it. I get angry when I try to, and I'm trying to get over it, and I can't get past it because I just keep having these feelings, and I keep thinking about it, and it's like I got to do something about it." And the speaker said to him, "The problem's right here." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's already been done. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for their sin. It's been done. You're trying to do something, and you haven't just sat with him and let him bring healing. Let him heal your heart a little bit. You feel like you got to do something. See, Jesus has already done something about it. He died for it. Well, that doesn't fix the problem. No, but it fixes the problem. It fixes the problem of the heart. You see, a heart wound is the hardest thing to heal. But God, Jesus can do that. But you know, the doctor can't do anything for you if you don't go to the doctor, right? Hello? Well, what can Jesus do for you if you don't sit with him? You got to sit with him. You see, when you stop, and this is the point, when you stop, God starts. When you stop, God starts. He starts doing. Many, many times in my life, I've been struggling with things and trying to figure things out at times and concerned about them, worrying about them, and trying to make sense of it. And as soon as I let it go, man, it's like the next day, God just comes in and smooths it like butter, starts to work it out. And that will save a whole lot of confusion. It'll save a whole lot of train wrecks in relationships, in churches, if we'll just say, "Okay, I got to sit with you, God, because this is your deal, not mine. God, you got a problem here." See, if we quit looking at it as our problem, put the burden on Jesus, said, "Bring it to me. If it's heavy, my yoke is easy and my burden is light," he said. Bring it to him. Set it down. When you stop, God starts. Worship team, would you come up? I want to share a story with you. And I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as I share this story, because I want you to picture this illustration in your mind. So as we get ready to pray, just go into an attitude of prayer. If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to think about, you're at the beach, and someone's in the water, and they're drowning. When someone's drowning and you try to help them, there's only two options. You either get to them and knock them out so you can help them, or you wait until he has no more strength and he stops struggling and he's about to go under, then you can get him out. You see, it's when we seek to do it ourselves that we place ourselves back under the law. God is waiting for many of you to stop struggling and start sitting so that he can open the eyes of your understanding. What is it that you're struggling with right now? What is it that you're battling with? Maybe you feel like you're drowning. And God's waiting for you to get to the end of your strength, so that when you're out of strength, when you're done doing, then he can start doing. He can reach out. He can start helping you. He's waiting for you to get to the end of yourself. For some of you, that may mean salvation. There may be people sitting here right now that you know in your heart of hearts you don't have a relationship with Christ. But you're still pushing through life. You're still trying to do good and be good and make it and fake it till you make it. It's not working and you know it's not working. Are you tired of struggling? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." For some, rest means starting with salvation. Starting with putting your faith in Christ and saying, "God, I'm tired of doing this. I can't do it anymore." I remember those were my exact words. The night I came to Christ. "God, I can't do it anymore. I'm just making a mess." Maybe that's true for you. Jesus will meet you right here. He will meet you right where you're at. He'll pour out his grace, his love, and his mercy to you. But you have to believe it. You have to believe that Jesus is the way and the only way. And then you have to receive it by faith. Just receive him into your life by faith. Just say, "Lord, I put my life into your hands today. I'm tired of trying to do life my way. I want to do it your way. I give you my heart. I give you my faith. I give you my family. I give you my world. I give it all to you today. I believe it and I receive it." Maybe there's a lot of Christians here that are struggling, striving, trying to paddle your way through life as hard as you can to get the canoe to go faster, farther, better, quicker. All he wants you to do, your first position, is rest. He's given us that. He's given us his rest, but we have to sit. It starts with sitting. If you haven't been sitting, not only do you know it, you recognize it by what's going on around you. He's given you the position. Sit with him. God, I thank you today that you've given us our place, that you've made us to sit with Christ, and we have faith in you. You've made us to walk after that. Our first job is to sit, not to walk. Our first position is sitting with you in your rest. God, our hearts need rest. In a world that's crazy, in a world that's fast and furious, in a world that's spiraling out of control in our eyes, we know that you're in control of everything. So help us to put you in control of our lives by sitting and resting with you. Help us to see our rightful position seated with Christ. Thank you, God, for your word is truth and life. Father, as we prepare to offer our tithes and offerings to you today, Father, help us to sit with you in that area of our life, just to rest our future, our hope, our businesses, our jobs, our bank accounts, our finances. Sit with you in those areas. Let you teach us and show us that you can do far better than we can when it comes to this part of our life. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and we worship you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come forward. Heart Cry, family and friends, it's offering time.